What's going on, friends? Welcome to the new podcast, The Happy Grind Movement. My name is Jackson Desjardins.
And I'm Tracy Desjardins.
And together, we're a mother-son duo dedicated to helping you find solutions to unwanted habits that are holding you back from becoming your super self.
Jackson and I know what it feels like to be overweight, frustrated, and stuck. But we also know how to get lean, get confident, and rock your best life. Together, we're going to get real and give you the tools you need to live fully aligned with who you want to be at any age.
As former personal trainers, we believe that while fitness is one part of being a healthy badass, it's not the only part of true wellness in this life. Building your super self is a grind. Together, we're going to help you grind happy. This week on the Happy Grind Movement, I want to ask you a question. And this is a question that you may never have been asked before. And that is, who are you behind closed doors? Right? This is something that I never even had the wherewithal to understand when I was a kid. And all the way up to when after I graduated college, I didn't get this. This concept of authenticity and being oneself. Gentlemen, don't write this shit off. This is for you just as much as it's for anyone else. And if you're pretending like it's not for you, then you absolutely need this because you're just pretending. So I want you to know something, or I want to ask you perhaps a more distinct question. Are you a different person behind closed doors versus when you're around people? And I think that we all need to show up for something, for someone. Like, different circumstances require different things from us. Sometimes we got to put it on. We have to not be authentic, and we have to kind of just, you know, play the part, be nice, be all these things. But I think that social anxiety comes from people who absolutely fear these kinds of situations. And I love talking about this stuff.
Can I dive in?
Yeah, here? Absolutely.
As you were describing that, when you asked that question, I knew my answer right away. And I still do. I'm not going to say that I'm through this. I'm very aware of it. But I spent most of my life, for some reason, like needing the approval and the validation from others.
You think you're unique for that?
Not
everybody.
At all. Not
everybody.
At all.
Yeah.
But is it just me? I don't think so, but I was really caught up with that, Jack. I was real sensitive for if I didn't get the expression back from somebody, or if I didn't feel validated or approved by even like my closest friends or clients, I was looking for that all the time rather than giving it to myself.
I think even
that's a painful trajectory.
I think even taking this back, I mean, think of like evolution based, right? Back, you know, Let's say 5,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, right? You wanted to be liked by people because that meant your success in society. If people didn't like you, you were an outcast. You didn't want to be an outcast. And I think that people are so fearful of not being accepted because your worth comes from what other people see you as, that the problems arise and then you get anxious and will purposefully choose not to put yourself in social situations because of that.
Well, we're not born like that. So what happens? Where do you
think
that's... Yes.
I think that we learn it through all the rules that are set from in our lives early on as children. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm just saying that it's true. I mean, children need rules. But I think that once... I think it really starts to happen in middle school. For me, at least, I remember. Because middle school was where it actually finally mattered. Like where I stood. So guys, if you don't know this, I went to Catholic school up to when I was in fifth grade. Then after fifth grade, I went into public school because my best friend Grant went to a public middle school called Bennett Middle here in Salisbury, Maryland. And I went there and I remember the transition from Catholic school to public school. And I was definitely a little sheltered. And luckily, I was like basically 6 foot in middle school. So I was bigger than everybody.
And I
haven't grown since. Yeah, I've been shaving since fifth grade. But so I didn't get picked on, but I do remember the immense amount of anxiety I felt because I needed to uphold a certain status in like seventh grade. I got there in sixth grade and I remember being like, okay, I'm new to this. I don't really know anybody. But I remember one kid I met there. He asked me if I liked Family Guy. This was all going to make sense. He asked me if I liked Family Guy, you know, that cartoon.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, Howie is my favorite character. He was like, Howie? And I was so nervous about saying, I know the characters, but I was so nervous about saying it that I accidentally said Howie instead of Stewie. And he was like, you mean Stewie? And I was like, oh, yeah. It just like, I'll never forget the anxiety I felt to try to maintain an image to these people because I wanted to be cool. I wanted to fit in. And I started dressing differently because everybody was there. I think you learn a lot of it in middle school, but I think your authentic, and this is sad, and it hurts my heart to say this. I think authenticity goes out the door out of elementary school.
Oh, it does. Okay, can I dive in here?
Yeah.
So I went to a very, very small elementary school.
Yeah.
K through six. And it was like painfully small. I'm not sure even why it was district. Mm-hmm. Did that way.
Yeah.
But there were other elementary schools in my area. And then we all convened it in four different middle schools in my big school district. And it was a big middle school. I called it junior high. And I remember coming out of like a sixth grade class where there were like 12 kids. They closed the school down.
Damn.
After I was the last graduating sixth grade class, and it's still sitting there vacant. It's kind of scary. Anyway, I remember going into junior high school, and I was totally overwhelmed. This is when I started dieting too, by the way. I was totally overwhelmed by other girls my age. There were a few of them that were drop dead beautiful. They really were. They had, in my eyes,
so it's threatening to you.
It was very threatening. And I felt like I was in uncharted territory and I didn't fit in on this island. Like these girls that had like the perfect butt and the tight jeans back then and the hair that was like perfectly feathered.
For the 80s?
Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. My hair.
I wish.
I didn't have the perfect butt.
I wish.
I did not have that hair. And hence, here's where it gets started. So, I mean, it is. It's like a battleground.
Well, I think that is one thing. And I think that most people, you know, it's funny. You know, Chloe has a younger brother named Rowan, and he's in middle school right now. And it's funny. It's like I remember being his age and what was going through my head right now and the inner identity I was building when I was in middle school. And I'm watching all the things that he's going through. And I'm like, I know that you're becoming who you are right now. And I think that it's beautiful because I've watched him continue to be completely authentic with me. And that's something, yeah. And it's just, I'm so proud of him for that. But the absence of authenticity in our modern world though, you know, I think a lot of us go through middle school, you know, we kind of are learned what we are supposed to be. And then we, in order to be what we are supposed to be, we stop being who we are, right? At least on the outside. And I think when social media came out, this did not help because social media is a highlight reel, not a real highlight. I say it all the time. And it's all this fake perfection and, you know, your followers and likes determine your worth as a human being. And then these people with hundreds of thousands and millions of followers feel like they're Greek gods on walking among mere mortals here. And it's just kind of shitty. But I know when I went to college, and I think that a lot of you are going to understand this. I met guys who I would only like when they were drunk. And it was so fascinating.
Isn't that so
I remember.
Sad?
I remember. I rushed a fraternity, and long story. I ended up getting dropped by this fraternity. It was a big mess.
It was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I think anybody would say that because you know it takes a hit at your ego. But looking back, that was one of the catalysts that I needed in order to change my life, and it's one of the best things that ever happened to me, along with getting my heart broken. But I think looking back at college, I remember meeting guys who were so. Who were such assholes and who would I remember being in this fraternity and this guy was like, hey, Desjardins, you need to fix your face. I'm not sure what's going on with your face, but you need to fix that. And I was like, thanks, I'll work on it. And me and my friends still laugh about it today. But I remember meeting guys who were so it was like intentionally horrible to other, and not just in like Greek life, but in like other kind of places, intentionally shitty to other guys. And then when they're drunk, they're all the most friendly, nice guys. And they're all so nice.
What's that all about?
And they're talking to me about what their sister is doing and she's going into college and where they're going and they like care. And it's like, God, it hurts. It hurts my soul because I know that you're just trapped in this shell. And, you have to perceive yourself a certain way to the other men if you want to get respect or whatever they think on the social dominance hierarchy that they're imagining in their head. But it would hurt my soul so much because I'd be around these guys drunk and I'd be like, there you are. There you are.
Wow.
Right.
Now that could send a message that alcohol brings out our authentic self. So can you talk about that?
I think that alcohol brings out the honesty in yourself. The authentic self, I think...
Not that we're promoting alcohol here.
No. But, and not that I ever had any drinks in college. I would never, I would never have done that until I was 21. But, but yeah, so I think that alcohol brings out so much in you because it gets rid of all of the worry and anxiety. Because if you ask, you know, I listened to a podcast one time with Jordan Peterson, and he was saying like, well, if you ask a drunk person, if they like, okay, let's say a drunk guy is about to jump off a balcony into a pool, right? Seems kind of sketchy, especially if you're drunk, you might hurt yourself. It could be kind of bad. If you ask him, are you aware of the impending danger that this could happen? You don't know the depth of this pool. You might break your leg. He would say yes. He would say, I understand. The difference isn't that he doesn't understand doing those crazy things. It's that he doesn't care. It's you're not worried about it, right? So that tells me that the lack of authenticity in our world comes from just anxiety and worry to try to fit in with the status quo, and people aren't able to be original because what is there to be original about nowadays? Everybody's already done this. Everybody's already done that. There's already this kind of person out there. It's so hard to be original, whether it's with content you create, whether it's just being yourself. I think a lot of people are just living in this world of comparison, constantly comparing themselves to other people. And when you lack authenticity, that means that you are living in comparison and you are constantly trying to be who you should be.
That's a lot of stress.
It's a ton
That's
of stress.
A lot of stress. Can so and then, you know, when we get behind closed doors at the end of the day and we're finally alone, it's like, what do we do?
Well, I call it the dance, right? Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. something where when you are finally able to get to a point, and this is where I think health and fitness has a positive impact, at least on my life it did. Once I liked me, mm-hmm. I liked me. And that had everything to do with my appearance to myself. I didn't mm-hmm. necessarily as much care what other people saw. And I mean that. It wasn't as much about what other people saw. It was about like, wow, I like me. And you know, and I'll prove it. I'm known for wearing really tight pants and really short shorts and being heterosexual. Okay. I like
really
girls.
True.
I like women, and I wear wicked tight pants and really short shorts.
You turn heads in restaurants frequently.
It's facts. It's true, and you gotta own it like a fart in church, man. Oh, but I
goodness,
that's my proof. After I lost the weight, what did I start doing? I started wearing tight, skin blistering tight pants. They were stretchy, of
and
course, because I do my research.
Were always a happy, even when you were in the throes of being very, very overweight, there was still that happy Jack in there, but he came out with the vengeance after you learned that you could trust yourself with your new eating habits.
I'm the same person. I say this a lot. I'm the same person. My perspective changed. Mm. That's the difference.
Huge.
I didn't change as a person when I lost the weight. Neither will any of you.
Yeah.
Your perspective will. Therefore, mm-hmm. you will see life as half empty or half full, right? And that's really, really kind of what happens. And I think people are just scared to be themselves. But like I said, the proof in me, in my authenticity and being into it for the right reasons. Do you think that I wore wicked tight pants and really short shorts because girls were going to be into me for that? Not necessarily. I like vintage. I like vintage looks. I like thinking back to when Rocky was running on the beach in those wicked short shorts. I love that look. I always did. And I never really identify with anything else. I'm able to be original and be authentically myself because I'm comfortable with me. And that's what I was saying. Fitness helped me get there. Therefore, I didn't have to hide anymore.
Okay. You know? I was never comfortable with me when I was battling dieting, which was most of my life. So I had a lot of shame. I didn't identify it then. I can identify it now because I'm on the other side of this, but I struggled to be authentic because I felt like I was hiding this ugly secret from the world, like this binge eating problem that I had.
I feel that.
So until I was able to get past that and to heal a damaged relationship with food and my body and to end dieting, I was not able to be authentic. Now, what I have discovered, now that I trust myself, which, you know, it's amazing when you can find peace with food in your body. It's really amazing the freedom that you have to be yourself and how you can put yourself out there. So, and it's got nothing to do with my body image and all that nonsense. But what I've noticed is my relationships with other people have exponentially grown because I am not afraid to be vulnerable around people and put the real me in front of people.
And what that sounds like to me is you removed your ego from the situation.
Yes.
From the equation.
Well, yeah, yeah. And there's also that, you know, I've learned a little bit of self-compassion. I've melted the shame.
Well, vulnerability builds trust in both ways. It builds trust in the person you're telling because you're being vulnerable in them. And you obviously needed to trust them in order to be vulnerable with them. It's a two-way street,
right? And people know that. People can feel that.
And you know what? People's egos are so big now because they're so scared of not being what they're supposed to be on social media. And you know what? It's hard because, yeah, I'll shit on it all day, but I'm not going to pretend that I didn't reach out to my girlfriend, Chloe, and find the beautifully amazing relationship that I've found because I thought she was cute on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
The only DM I ever sent. So it's hard because it's reinforced and it's like, oh, well, I have to do this. I just think that if you're going to do it on social media, I get the world we live in. I get it. But I think if you can bring a splash or a tidal wave of authenticity into the picture, you get so much more respect. Yeah. It's funny. It's like, as soon as I started to wear tight pants, really tight pants, I remember in the beginning, all of my friends would shit on me and it was funny. They'd make fun of me about my pants. And then now years later, a lot of them wear tight pants and it's like, oh wait,
yeah,
so you'd be surprised. It's like, you get so much respect when you just wear whatever the hell you want and do what you want. And, if you're not, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't give a flying shit about watching baseball or basketball, March Madness shit. I don't care, but I do watch competitive Super Smash Brothers Melee. Isn't that weird as hell? Hell yeah. But I own it like a fart in church and all of my friends respect the shit out of me for it. Mm-hmm. Whether they would verbalize it or not, I don't need your approval. I approve myself, and it took me being able to trust myself and like myself intrinsically. And, It took me getting there to be able to convey these words, and it's not easy.
It's not easy. So Jackson, what do you say to the listeners out there that are like, gosh, I wish I could get there. Like, I want to feel like that in my life, but they're stuck behind the highlight reel of Instagram and all the social media, and they want to move in that direction.
Number one, delete it. Number one. If you find yourself comparing to me, unsubscribe, delete it. My vanity is not worth you feeling like shit about yourself. Delete it. Number one. Number two. Number one could be just get it out of your life. And then after you have a lot of that stuff out of your life and you only listen to podcasts like this, or you only consume content that doesn't make you feel like shit about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If number two would be ask yourself what you want. And with a huge emphasis on you, what do you want?
Mm, love it.
That's not easy stuff, guys. Like, give yourself permission to tell yourself in this moment, what is it that I want? Take me for an example. I love musicals. I love playing six instruments. I love Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Mama Mia.
Love Pokemon. Love Mamma Mia. I don't necessarily keep up with fantasy football. It doesn't get me hard at all.
I can't say those things.
I'm not interested in that one bit. I don't care. Right. And in college, I used to feel less masculine because of it. I was like, damn, I'm not masculine enough because I don't give a shit what Tom Brady's stats are this year. I don't give a shit about
that. You really felt like you were less masculine.
Oh, for sure.
Of that?
For sure. I know a lot of guys out there are feeling that way, but it's funny. It's like I've stepped into such massive masculinity at this point in my life because I own the shit out of what I like. And all of you can be the same. Just give yourself permission to own whatever it is that you like and be authentically yourself, and people will respect the shit out of you because they wish they could do it.
And I'd like to say something to the ladies out there listening. I don't care what age you're at. If you are scrolling on Instagram and you see these female bodies and they're lifting up their shirts, showing you their six pack, or I'm going to speak to the ladies my age in the 40s, 50s, 60s. If you're triggered by seeing women our age posing in bikinis and doing all things and trying to push the image that you have to have a 25-year-old body if you do their workouts and buy their diet plan, get off of it. Get off of it because it's toxic, it's laughable, and it is not feeding into our greater good. See through it.
You know what was scary for me? I recently took like a month off of social media. Like the only thing I kept was YouTube because that's where I live consuming content, and that's where I live producing content. And I completely got off, and it was terrifying because I got more notifications than I have ever received in my entire life from Instagram.
Wow.
Have you seen this post? They posted a story. Have you seen this? This is getting a lot of likes. This person posted all the time. I never get those. And I got them that whole month. Because why? They want you addicted.
Well, how did you feel that month that you were off of Instagram?
Blissful. Because it's funny. I'm making a video about it soon. I traded in social media for Pokemon.
Oh, that's great. And I didn't know you were doing that.
Eventually. I don't know how I'm going to structure it yet. But I traded in social media for Pokemon and my mental health soared.
Yeah.
Soared. Because now I'm able to stay in my own lane, focus on, I'm building a sales funnel for my current program, and I'm doing a lot of things behind the scenes that if I was watching somebody who has this cool clothing brand that I'm really inspired by and I want someday, it would make me feel shitty about working on my program right now. So now it's like, oh, since that's not even in the picture, I'm so excited to launch this. I'm so excited to do this and all these things. It's a perspective change. So I guess ultimately,
the one thing you said could segue us to the end of this podcast. You said something that I would like to emphasize. You learn to stay in your lane. That's ultimately what we're trying to say here.
Keep your eyes on your own paper. Yeah. Wicked. Yeah,
that's huge. I love that you said that.
So the next time that you're alone, I encourage you to ask yourself, of course, you're going to be different. You're going to act different. You're going to let your hair down, right? And that's normal. But I encourage you to ask yourself how different you are behind closed doors versus in front of people and how much more authentic you could be, not for others, for you. Because you know what? Your authentic self has so much to offer everybody. And it's crazy. I don't care if you're a piece of shit or an awesome person. Everyone I've met who have been completely authentic, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Just give me you.
Yeah.
I'm tired of meeting guys who are faking this weird, ego-based masculinity all the time and won't laugh at jokes and won't do this and will try to shit on other people because it's like, oh, well, I got to be able to throw haymakers at my friends. It's like, just be you, because it kills me when I see friends of mine or men in general or women that will only be their authentic selves and stop judging, stop being afraid, and stop hiding when they're drunk or when they're under the influence of something.
Yeah.
It makes me sad. And you don't understand that people will love that version of you. Gentlemen, women will love that version of you and men will respect that version of you. You must understand that. And if you just give it a chance, I'm telling you, give yourself permission to be you, and you don't have to be different behind closed doors. And I just want to leave you guys with that. So
that's fantastic.
I know this has been kind of a deep one, and I just don't want you guys thinking, I just got to make it till I can get back inside because I'm taking my dog out and this person's going to look at me. Like, it's okay. Just be authentic. Be there. Be present. So on that note, we love every single one of you, and we want to leave you like we leave you every single episode. Let's keep getting better together.
And keep grinding happy.
See you guys in the next one. Peace out.